This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It seems as if in Massachusetts we have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, except perhaps when the people want to shine a light on the actions of their government.
We're talking about the sorry state of Massachusetts public records laws. They're among the least transparent in the country. And here's an example. A Boston Globe reporter asked the State Ethics Commission if he could see financial disclosure reports filed by politicians across the state.
Now, informing the public is the entire point of these financial disclosure forms. But the Ethics Commission told the Globe that not only would it take months to gather the documents, but the reporter would get to see them only if the Globe paid the state more than $14,000 in advance. And the reporter didn't even ask for copies just to see the reports.
In contrast, at least 29 other states post financial disclosure reports on the web for quick and easy access. And you understand why Gavi Wolf of the Massachusetts ACLU says,
instead of a sunshine law, we have basically a flashlight with batteries not included.
Well, Gavi Wolf was one of many advocates and journalists who testified on Beacon Hill yesterday in favor of two bills that would substantially update the state's public records laws. But do the bills go far enough? And how are other states getting transparency right? We're going to talk with two people about this, beginning with Scott Allen. He's the editor of the Globe Spotlight team, and he too testified yesterday on Beacon Hill. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Oh, nice to be here.
So first of all, what kind of similar horror stories did you share with legislators yesterday during your testimony on Beacon Hill?
You know, the sad thing is there's just so many horror stories. We could just talk and talk and talk. It was kind of like group therapy a little bit yesterday. But the law is so weak that all the advantages are on the side of the government agents, and they can use any number of ways to defeat us. And one of the ones they really love to use is charging us exorbitant amounts of money. We had a request for the emails from the general manager of the T last winter from the days around when the T stopped working because of all the snow. These are emails, so inherently they're electronic. But they wanted us to pay them more than $3,000 to get these emails because they needed to print them out and give them to us and then mail them to us. And they insisted that they were going to do that. So that added $1,500 to the price to give us something we did not want. And you can go right down the line, case after case after case after case. You give them the money and they still take another 6 months before they give you the documents. And why do they do that? Because they can, because there are so few penalty provisions. No one ever gets prosecuted under this law. There's no reason not to. If you're a government bureaucrat, saying no and stonewalling is the smart course for your long-term survival,
well,
not cooperating.
In fact, yesterday someone testified to precisely to that point. I believe it was a reporter in, I can't remember the town right now, but saying that they wanted some records from the mayor, and the mayor basically laughed in their face and said no, because I know that if I don't, there's no penalty under the current public records laws.
That's exactly right. You're talking about Mayor Willie Lantigua of
Lawrence. Of Lawrence, of course.
He eventually lost his job, and so the case became moot. But that's exactly right. I mean, we have had so routinely year-long fights with government agencies where we're in the end just sort of begging them to give us what we want, and they know week upon week upon week the advantage is theirs, not ours, and we can't finally do anything to them.
Okay, so how long has this been going on? I mean, when's the last time the public records laws received any sort of substantial update?
Well, it's been decades. I mean, the law itself is, you know, a Watergate-era law from the 1970s, 1973. At the time, it was very progressive. At the time, it sort of was in keeping with Massachusetts' sort of self-image of being kind of progressive. But there really has not been a meaningful update in decades. And to the extent there have been changes, they've made the law weaker by adding more and more reasons why government agencies can say, we don't want to do that.
Mm. And I noticed that, for example, for it was Todd Wallach, the Globe reporter, whose story we referenced in the introduction here, that state ethics officials said that they weren't allowed to put disclosure reports online because of a 1978 law that permits them to provide them only to people who show photo IDs and submit a written request.
Right. And then those are the rules of the Ethics Commission. And they say,
yeah,
if you don't like it, you actually have to change the statute, which it's a ridiculous requirement. The ethics disclosures, whenever you request one of them, you got to show a photo ID, and then they notify the people whose record you're accessing so that the legislator always knows you're looking at their financial disclosures.
Okay. So, Scott, we're going to talk in a second with someone from another state that's doing this a little bit differently. But I do want to ask you, we talked about how for the ethics, the financial disclosure reports, the Globe was asked by the state to pay $14,000, that to get those emails from the T, which I gather you still don't have.
That's right.
Okay. Another several thousand dollars. I mean, what are the justifications that these state agencies give for charging all this money? It can't just be like it takes us a long time to find these records and photocopies are expensive.
No, that's right. Photocopying is actually just part of the way they run up the bill. The single biggest thing is they say, oh my gosh, there's probably confidential information in here that we can't release, and so our lawyer needs to go over every single thing we're going to give you, and it's going to take 31 hours of his time or 265 hours or whatever. So a big part of the costs they charge are legal review and redaction, and that can run into thousands of dollars for the simplest request.
But does the law require the legal review?
Well, of course there is some confidential information that is not for the public, like an active police investigation or what have you. But like on those financial disclosures we talked about, what is the information? It's the address of the legislator in the disclosure form. If you think that is like can't be put out in the public, then perhaps maybe it shouldn't be on the disclosure form, so there's no need to redact. It's supposed to be a public disclosure. It's not supposed to be a confidential disclosure.
Right. I'm just wondering, Scott, what was the mood like during the testimony yesterday? Because it seems as if perhaps are we at a point where there might be some kind of meaningful movement towards updating the public records laws in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I think we're having a public records moment. this similar legislation has been dutifully introduced year on year. I think that in your lead-in, Secretary Galvin said he personally puts in such bills every year and they go nowhere. We didn't even cover it last year, I don't think. It was like a quiet place where the media in some ways is partly to blame for what's happened to us because we have not made a big deal out of the failure to update this law. But it does appear today, yesterday, and now is a time when people are paying more attention. And yesterday, the room was full. Lots of people from like more than 40 advocacy organizations. I can tell you, I've personally, in 30 years in journalism, I've never testified on a bill in my life, and I testified in favor of the bill and wore a, public records, sticker yesterday. So I was an advocate for the day.
Mm. Well, Scott Allen, stand by for just a moment because we don't want to have this conversation in a vacuum. And Massachusetts kind of ranks near the bottom of the 50 states when it comes to public records laws and transparency. So let's move outside the state for a moment and talk to someone who's living somewhere where it's done differently. That's in Columbus, Ohio, and Catherine Terser is a policy analyst with Common Cause Ohio. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So first of all, Massachusetts, in a review of state transparency laws, got an F. We should say Ohio got a C- in a similar review, so not an A, but significantly better. What's your first of all reaction to hearing kind of how public records laws work in Massachusetts?
Well, I have to tell you, my jaw was just dropping. It's hard to imagine how a newspaper functions or how a public interest entity functions. One of the things that is really important in Ohio is our Sunshine Law and our Sunshine Manual, which allows us to request records. We sometimes are required to pay the cost of copies, sometimes. There's no cost to the hours that are spent producing, the records, because in fact they are public records. We own those records. So I'm going to give an example of something that I requested records for, and I paid absolutely nothing. I requested records following the redistricting in 2011 because I was very surprised at, shall we say, the gerrymandered outcome of the map.
Right.
And I got 24 boxes within 3 weeks. And did not have to pay for anything. And it included emails, also personal emails that were used. If you do public business and you use a personal email, it's still considered a public records law, public record under Ohio law. So we were able to get that. And we were able to piece through a lot of things, like they called where they did the redistricting, they called it the bunker. We were able to identify that they changed district lines because of a campaign contributor. We were able to, identify all sorts of problems, including this one guy who actually sent a picture of his car missing tires and saying, hey, I think I need to move. Would you change the district line so I can move into this neighborhood? So we were able to get, we were able to get what we needed so that we could advocate for something.
So let me underscore here. You got 24 boxes of records. You got them within 6 weeks. You didn't have to pay 3 weeks. You didn't have to pay for them. And this was something as potentially explosive as the behind-the-scenes maneuvering around redistricting. Yes?
Absolutely. And we do have access. You know, we could hang out in our jammies at home if we wanted to, and we can look at the financial disclosure of any of our legislators since the 90s. Any of the financial disclosure statements. We can look at lobbyist disclosure statements. We have one of the struggles that we have, of course, has to do with creating a better open data system. It's funny to be bragging when you're a C-, but compared to an F,
it sounds weird. Catherine, hang on for a second. Scott, you're hearing this, right? Like,
well, I'm feeling very jealous over here.
Just imagine what the Spotlight team could do if you lived in Ohio. But Catherine, so tell me, I mean, as Scott and I were discussing, in Massachusetts, we frequently hear that, you know, you're going to have to pay $10,000 for these records because a lawyer has to come in and do some careful redaction of some of these documents that have been requested. How is that dealt with, that issue of cost or privacy, et cetera, dealt with in Ohio?
So the way that it works is they are required to give you the records within what's considered a reasonable amount of time. Now, there's some debate over what's reasonable, of course. They can charge you the cost of the records, but it cannot be exorbitant. So our Ohio Supreme Court has said, you know, I mean, you can't charge 25 cents a page or a dollar a page, and that there is no cost for them to be created, and that the custodians of records are encouraged by the Attorney General to actually have those records be ready at any point to actually be given to the public.
And does this apply to every state and local agency in the state of Ohio?
That is correct. And now, some of them go out of their way. For example, I said I didn't have to pay anything for all of these records that I received for the redistricting that kind of investigation that we were doing. But that's because our state legislature does not require people to pay for the cost of the copying because they consider, the citizens are encouraged to actually participate in that process. And it's a way to encourage us to participate.
Mm. Now, how did Ohio get to this point? Because, I mean, has it just always been a more sunshinier state?
So I suspect it's interesting because, of course, Watergate made a difference for us. So we updated in, you know, the mid-70s, but we continued to update. And I think it was something, you know, we've had some pretty lovely scandals here in Ohio that we're not terribly proud of. For example, we invested money in coins before I heard 2005. We were investing money in coins. The coin dealer actually made off with our money. So there were those kinds of scandals that encouraged us to have a good public records law. Mm. Now, we still struggle. You know, you can put a request in, and one of the ways that governmental entities sometimes push back is they'll say, hey, your request was overly broad.
I see. And so then you have to come back with a more narrowly tailored request. Well, Scott, let me turn back to you, because it's not as if Massachusetts is unfamiliar with scandal, and yet it hasn't necessarily prompted us to do a major updating of our public records laws. But can you tell us briefly if you see that what you see in the two bills that are currently on Beacon Hill that might go towards reforming the system?
Yeah, I actually can do that very quickly. Perhaps the most important thing is, if we are wrongly denied public records and have to go to court to get those records, right now we just eat the legal costs. We are one of three states in the country where the plaintiff can't get their legal fees reimbursed if they're wrongly denied records. Just by changing that provision all by itself, it will encourage parties who've been wrong to take their matter to court because they know that the government may have to reimburse them at the end. So all by itself, that would then give them an incentive. And there are several other things in the in the bill that hold down how much they can charge. It requires them to offer electronic records as electronic records, so there's no copying fee. And it also makes all of the agencies appoint one person who's in charge of public records so that it actually has a priority with somebody's job rather than being an add-on. So you put those things together and you're providing a focus and a bunch of incentives for these government agencies to comply, because right now there is zero incentive for them to comply except that they hate getting so many phone calls from me.
And final question to you, Catherine Terser, from your view in Ohio, why do you think it's important for Massachusetts to take advantage of this moment and get this right?
We are in an amazing time period where so much information can actually be put online. And in fact, one of the things that will make, you know, the custodians of records lives easier and will provide much better access for the citizens of your state is putting this information online. That in fact, creating open, you know, creating not just, you know, good law so that you can get the records if you request it. It's you could also add, you know, actually making them easily accessible online. And if you actually change that practice, it just makes things so much more open and so much easier on both custodians and the people in your community.
And therefore, our democracy, if I might
Absolutely.
Just add that. Well, Catherine Turser, policy analyst with Common Cause Ohio, speaking with us from Columbus. Thank you so much for joining us, Catherine.
Thank you. I had fun.
And Scott Allen, editor of the Boston Globe's Spotlight Unit. Scott, always great to have you. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Important conversation about an important subject. Stay with us. There's more ahead. Harvard's Robert Putnam on how America's growing inequality gap is threatening the American dream and America's kids. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.